You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs, and now we are joined by senior staff writer of the Cleveland Browns for the entire second hour, Andrew Gribble. What's going on, Andrew?
Nothing. I've been warming up my voice just to keep the stamina. Usually it's only 15 minutes and then I'm spent, but we'll see how long I can go.
Absolutely. Again, and again, share with us what we just found out. I know that Chevy from New Jersey just called in talking about Greg Hardy potentially coming here to the Cleveland Browns. Where is he linked now?
He's being linked to the Dallas Cowboys, which maybe going throwback now, a little bit with the
how are they
going
to find the money to pay for him? I mean,
after they don't give DeMarco the money, right?
Well, he's certainly not going to get the money that he would have been worth without this arrest.
Agreed.
So certainly you're getting lower price than what the kind of player, but it comes with just so much baggage. And, you know, there's certain teams, even the Raiders were like, we're not even touching this guy. So, man, it's just, it's a calculated risk they're going to take PR wise. And, you know, it's just interesting to see how this will unfold. But I guess Peter King also mentioned the Buccaneers, Falcons, Chargers, and Jaguars as potential landing spots for him. But this guy clearly is a great player. But it's just, it's a franchise decision to make that goes well beyond football.
Oh, he definitely is. And again, I think three out of the four teams that you just named are all 4-3 defenses in Tampa, in Jacksonville, and again, Dallas plays a kind of like a hybrid 3-4. They go back and forth, but the San Diego Chargers is surprised that they're in the market for Greg Hardy. They just must be desperate at defensive line because they're a true 3-4 there with John Pagano. And as I said before going to break, we'd love to hear from you. 216-578-0850. We're talking Dwayne Bowe's potential of coming here to Cleveland Browns. Tremont Williams has also been in town, potential of coming to the Cleveland Browns. But also, too, we ask as we get ready for the NFL draft, as it approaches, when you are evaluating a player, if you tuned into the combine, are you tuning into the pro days, or you're tuning in and rewatching their game tape? Which do you think signifies the best contributions that they can make in the National Football League? I like your perspective.
I think it's got to go back to the game tape. But then, even then, production-wise, you can't get overwhelmed with the production. Because look at a guy like Brian Hartline at Ohio State. His last year there, he wasn't putting up huge numbers, really never put up huge numbers at Ohio State. But then look what he's done in the NFL at back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. So I think it's all about looking at the game tape, seeing what their potential fit would be in the NFL. You can't get wrapped up in production at the college level. It's definitely a part of it. I think that outweighs what they do at the pro day, because I think you can set up a pro day to look as good as you can possibly
absolutely
want it to be.
Johnny did very well.
I think it's remarkable just thinking back, like, how do all these guys at their pro days improve their 40 time? Like, every single guy, it seems like. And it's like, it's not just a small amount. It's usually a significant amount. And I don't know if it's the different timing mechanisms or what they're saying, but it's just that home court feeling that those players have. It just makes for some ridiculously better results. And that's what made the Mariota thing weird was, you know, he apparently threw better at the combine than he did at his pro day, which you don't see that very often. But again, I rank the pro day at the bottom, and then the interviews you get at the combine above what they do at the combine. But then what you saw in college, what they've proven, and you know, the college game is getting more and more advanced. It's getting closer and closer to the NFL, so it goes a long way for me.
Sure, and you know what I wrote down as you were speaking, to give those three, you know, ways of evaluation kind of a percentage. And what I put down, very similar to what you said, I put 70% of, you know, your interest or your evaluation is based upon their 2014 or 2013 or their game tape. Yeah. You know, how do they play the game of football? What do they look like? How do they move? How are they productive? Are they not? I put 20% on the combine simply because you learn a lot about the guys because you have that time to meet with them personally. You get to see everybody, and I know, you know, Rick Spielman said this to me when I didn't, you know, do everything at the combine because I was kind of fresh out of the Senior Bowl and still recovering from a shoulder injury. He just said, this is your one opportunity to prove where everybody is watching. Like, as we talked to Austin Ward earlier today, every team was represented, but you can't guarantee that there's 32 head coaches, there's 32 general managers, and every scout that's out there is at one place at one time. And that's, you know, why the shine on the combine is so bright, because everybody's there evaluating, everybody is there, is brought together for that purpose, and that last 10% goes into your pro day. And in most cases, simply was, in some cases, what those pro days are opportunities to, you know, to get better. But I think some of those things are taken with a grain of salt by those scouts when a number increases significantly that much. But I know that the workout, because having been cut by an NFL team and having to go do a tryout and go through some of the, you know, their workouts, very similar, you know, to what a pro day is. I've had to run one 40 after my combine 40, thank God. And it was actually in Detroit with the Detroit Lions. And more so than anything, it's an evaluation after the combine. But what they want to do is they want to continually evaluate you health-wise. Because you can you cannot run a 40 at the combine, and maybe you're just struggling with a hamstring injury. But then when you're going to run at your pro day, similar to the way Michael Bennett did, you know, Michael Bennett, you know, ran his 40, came up lame. So you could be protecting an injury, like a hamstring, like a quad, you know, like a calf strain, whatever it might be, and skip at the combine. But at your pro day, they want you to participate in most if you did not participate at the combine. And therefore, when you're going full speed and giving it 110%, that injury is going to come out and it's going to show out.
Now, here's one thing I want to ask you is how does the workout at a facility for a team differ in terms of, is it more strenuous? Is it because you're not expecting what's coming? Does that make it different? I mean, what differs from that in the combine, and is it, there more nerves going into that kind of audition?
No, I think the more nerves is Indy, because simply, you know, you're there with the best of the best, and you know, you've got all those linebacker coaches, and you understand who's in that bowl watching you with binoculars and so on and so forth. But I actually thought that the combine workout was easier than the pro day workout, because you've got flights of linebackers. So say there's 35 linebackers there, and there's, you know, I don't know, 11 or 12 per group. So one guy goes, then one guy goes, and it's rapid fire. But when you go, you're now in you're in 11th or 12th from your turn at the next drill. Whereas at your pro day, it was myself and C. Grant, who was, of course, drafted by the New Orleans Saints, played, you know, inside linebacker with me as well. It was me and C. So it's a linebacker coach or a defensive coordinator running you through linebacker drills for 10 to 15 minutes, but it's you and one other guy. So it's boom, 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 boom. And, I mean, I was gassed. And what's funny, and every time that I see, you know, Lance Briggs, who came out in the same draft class as me, I think he went third round, I went fourth, and he's had a great career, you know, I think 6+ Pro Bowls as well there in Chicago. But the linebacker coach that put us through drills, and I believe at the time it was the Jacksonville Jaguars linebacker coach, said he warned us about not quitting. He goes, I'm going to be tough, this is going to be hard, and I'm going to stress you, but you got to prove to me that you got it or you don't. Because this kid last week in Arizona, and he was talking about Lance Briggs, literally quit his workout at his own pro day and walked into the locker room because he was like almost ready to throw up. So I knew I was in for it. My legs were dead. But all in all, you know, it didn't affect his draft status, but they got a great player. But, you know, it'd be interesting to see. Gibbs, where do you think you weigh out on it? And on it, I mean, is it the same? Are you on the same page with Gribble and I? Gibbs, you there? Not there? Not there. Oh, you're good.
Here, I'll step in, though, because sure. I was at the last – I was at Alabama's previous two pro days.
Okay.
I covered a few of them back when I was down there, and this just maybe kind of shows you a reflection of how little or how much a pro day could mean. Trent Richardson absolutely crushed his pro day.
Of course.
I think he worked out with a Browns coach, and kind of famously, I remember writing about it, he knocked over the Browns running backs coach at the time during a running back drill. Everyone was really excited about how he did. You know, everyone was pumped up, and then all of a sudden the Browns trade up and get him with the number 3 pick in the 2012 draft. A couple years later, maybe it was just 1 year later, Eddie Lacy at his pro day got so gassed on multiple occasions, had to step outside. It was really hot. I mean, it was like, it can be like about 85, 90 degrees in Alabama in April. And, you know, it's really humid inside their inside indoor practice facility. But on multiple occasions, he had to step outside, catch his breath. It just wasn't a good look. And then he goes, I don't know if his stock fell, but he ended up not being the first running back drafted that year. And just, you never know. I mean, I think that Eddie Lacy had a very not great February to April, but then, you know, you get on in Green Bay, you get to
Absolutely.
Training camp, it clicks, and you realize what goes on, what goes right. And so that's why, you know, even the combine, Eddie Lacy wasn't great at the combine. He was injured. He didn't do much, but ultimately it comes back to the potential. And I think, you know, Lacy sat behind Richardson, Mark Ingram for a while. He was fresher. I think he came to the NFL with less tread in the tires, and look what he's doing now. He's one of the best running backs in the league.
Absolutely. We're going to hit the phones really quick. We heard from Stewart in Akron, who wanted to cut ties with Johnny. We're going to hear from Parker in Las Vegas. What's up, Parker?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, man. How you doing, brother?
I can't complain. What do you got?
Well, I think we just need to relax with Johnny Football. We got six quarters under our belt with this guy. We keep drafting people. We got Josh McCown in, who hasn't proven anything. We got to give this guy a shot. We got to put some pieces around the kid. We got to build a wide receiving core that can actually catch the football. We got Andrew Hawkins is a solid he's a solid wide receiver. We got Brian Hartline back in there. We need our running game is young. We need to get that developed more. We got a solid defense. I think we just need to get, instead of having this constant carousel quarterback, we got to give somebody the reins, give him a shot, see exactly what we can get out of him. If he turns out, he turns out. If not, we got to see what we can get out of him. You know what I mean? We got to build some equity in this guy.
Absolutely. And that's where I was kind of coming from in regards to let's let Johnny get back, you know, personally healthy. And then, as John DeFilippo said, get enamored with the game of football and prove to these coaches and prove to this city that he wants to play quarterback as a Cleveland Brown. We're going to go to break now. You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Coming up, we're going to talk Jameis Winston doesn't want to head to Chicago to potentially be the number one overall pick. Is that a good look or is the bad look? What would you do? We're also going to hear more from Andrew Gribble, my co-host Jason Gibbs. ESPN 850 WKNR. Ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning?